Oh, triangle, triangle, triangle. Square, 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 square.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Hacker Slash. If you're joining us again, welcome back. The darkness is coming. It's safer to be inside. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the party. We are a horror movie review podcast dedicated to telling you whether a movie is a hack,
a total joke, a waste of time,
or a slash.
Totally killer, pun intended.
We believe horror is for everyone, and as such, we're rating these movies with a perspective we've gained from our varying walks of life and the flavors of fear we fancy most. My name is Chris, I'm your friendly neighborhood slasher enthusiast. This week I'm joined by the Superfly Space Guy, Mac.
She is far worse than I am.
The classic horror connoisseur, Sean.
Come closer so I can touch you.
And the paranormal paramour, Binks.
Everyone has a different nightmare in Silent Hill. I am theirs.
This week we're checking out a sequel that takes us back to a realm where nightmares blend with reality and the search for answers leads to more than just dark secrets. Seven episodes ago, we reviewed the initial entry in a franchise that served to adapt a popular video game franchise. This week's film continues the story and reintroduces us to the De Silva family as they are once again separated by the horrors of an abandoned town. While the fog-laden town and its sirens have become iconic, the sequel proved to be as murky and challenging as the alternate reality it portrays. The path to producing this film was littered in high hopes and bold promises from a new director with passion for the original game material. Despite her passion, though, the final product stumbled over retcons and continuity issues that disappointed many and resulted in a lackluster box office performance. This week, we're talking about Silent Hill Revelation. Who's seen this one before?
I know that I have seen this one before, but I feel like it's been years and years and years, I feel like. And I gotta admit, I have very little recollection of this film.
You know, we did the previous episode, we shared, we both like Silent Hill a lot. And it's funny that you say that because I don't know what it is, but when it comes to this film, I truly couldn't tell you if I've seen it or not. I feel like I watched this for the first time, and yet it's very hard for me to believe that I've never seen it before. So who knows? We're just going to go based off of the idea that maybe I'm watching it for the first time because I've wiped it from my memory, clearly.
I know that I have not seen this before. And honestly, I didn't even realize they made a sequel until we started talking about it for the pod. And that's just me being bad at horror. But I watched Silent Hill, the OG, and was like, cool, I'm done. That's all I needed.
I haven't seen this one before. As you recall, seven episodes ago, I hadn't even seen the first Silent Hill. I hadn't played Silent Hill. The only Silent Hill connection I've ever had is the Silent Hill map and characters in Dead by Daylight, and that's the extent of it. So going into this one, though, I've heard that there's at least some more recognizable characters. I know that the original film was a bit of an adaptation. It strayed away from some of the game source material in a way, and I remember that hearing and feeling it was a little bit different from what I expected. So I thought, hey, it can only go up from here.
You know, I think we were pretty positive when covering the first one, and my expectations were low because of that. Because I figured it's a sequel to a movie based on a video game. Historically, that doesn't go well. And if there's a different director, even if they're the best director on earth, it's going to feel disconnected from the first one in some way, most likely. So that's really what I went into when hit and play was like, this is probably not going to be a good time.
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting because when you bring up Silent Hill, at least the movies, right? I feel like people that enjoy the game often say they appreciate the franchise. I don't know which part of the franchise they're referring to. So when you get a refresher on this one, we'll see if that holds true. But it is a Silent Hill movie, so you got to be expecting somewhat of what you got from the first one, like a hellish nightmare experience, right? You're in Silent Hill. It's kind of a ridiculous ride to behold, right? Like you've got all this crazy shit happening. There's monsters everywhere. So going from the first one into this one, I feel like to your point, Chris, you have high hopes, right? And especially to your point, Mac, video game adaptations into feature films don't often go very well. But when we get what we got with Silent Hill, you expect this one to carry that torch and hope for the best, but we'll see.
Such a good point about the franchise lovers, because I would put myself in that plate where I love Silent Hill the franchise, but I forget that that would include the movies. And Silent Hill, the first one, is what I'm thinking of, right? The second one, clearly can't even remember if I've seen it or not. So going into this, it was the vast amount of people and pop culture references and all these things that clouded my watch. And it's because I know that this movie is regarded as one of the worst movies in that 2010s era, especially when it comes to Silent Hill or Silent Hill Revelation. Silent Hill Revelation is not so great. That's what people have told me, right? And even when I clicked to stream it, that 8% Rotten Tomatoes score is like glaring at you. So it's hard for me to expect anything else but bad. Tell you what I wasn't expecting though. When you click it, it doesn't say 3D. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Now, whether that landed or not, obviously, it's not like I'm watching it on a 3D screen. So that's a little different, but I wasn't expecting it to be 3D.
I think that was one of many surprises I had. Listen, y'all, I hacked the last Silent Hill movie. It's just not my vibe. It's not my thing. I understand that there's a lot of sentimental stuff there for people who love the franchise and people who love the games. And I did list it as a movie that potentially I could retract a hack from at the end of the year. But in that movie, we really had a entire runtime of a film spent for a man to just get ghosted by his wife. Thinking about where that movie ends and then jumping into where this movie begins, the first feeling I had was, what the fuck is all this now? From the outside looking in, from someone who has no connection to Silent Hill at all and just has the context of the films, this is messy. This is bizarre. And we end up getting an explanation. It's one of those things where I think it tries to shock you or pique your interest with a really jarring and sudden opening, and then it give some exposition later, but the exposition honestly feels really lazy. So I remember feeling immediately disinterested as we started the movie. And there are some moments where it improves and some moments where it declines. But even without the initial context being set, you shared of seeing the scoring or knowing the reputation of the movie, I still was just like, oh, this actually did get worse.
Yeah, I think that caught me off guard too, because I started the movie and was like, oh my gosh, did I play the wrong one? Did I miss a whole movie? Because that's exactly what it feels like when you first start watching this, is there has to be something in between these two films. And obviously, I'm the one who's missed it. We mentioned when reviewing Silent Hill, there's moments where it feels like a video game. And there were legit scenes here that I thought for a moment were cutscenes. I thought they just pulled it from the video game and put it into the movie. And then I had to look more closely and I was like, oh, no, these are actors. This is filmed, and of course, with lots of CGI added, that was more jarring, I think, than the moments we had in the first movie that felt video game-like. This was straight up like, oh, this looks like a video game in many segments.
Yeah, that's exactly spot on, honestly. It felt maybe too much like a video game and less like an actual film, and I didn't really even feel the same character development or storytelling that we got in the first film. There's a reason why it feels like you're missing something, because this literally just skips. So the timeline is all fucked. Like, everything is completely screwed up.
And it's so unfortunate. It really is. And what's worse is that it almost comes off like they really were banking on everyone that's seen this movie to know everything about Silent Hill. So we can just muddle up a reason as to what's happened here real quickly, lazily put it together, and who cares? We'll get to the things that you want to see in a moment. And that's not it at all. I think what's so sad about this and the feelings that I was getting as I was watching it is like, what was this director going through, you know, like their perspective? Because I know that she was a big fan, and it must be so heartbreaking in a way that even she herself knows that this wasn't her finest work. She talked a lot about how she was trying to appease the game fans. She was trying to appease people that are only going to watch the movies and try to keep the film canon intact, try to keep the original writers as many as she could when this whole original production fell apart. So I sympathize and I empathize with her, right? Both things. I feel for her a lot, because as a fan, it must suck to know that you can't really do this the way that you hoped and keep that continuity, because it's just a wreck right from the start. When I saw that, we were just like, oh, our main character is now 18 years old. It's a clear time jump and no real sense of it all. Yeah, it just feels very sloppy.
Which I think is my biggest disappointment, because we get this whole setup in the last movie. We completely change the game, and then it retcons to an extent and then tries to also explain away as if it's part of the continuity. But there's so much that's disjointed in this movie that really just takes any potential it has and just tosses it in the garbage bin, honestly. And that's really disappointing. I think you had a lot of nuance and complexity with some of the characters in the original film. And here we are, and it just feels like, in some ways, a regurgitation of some of those characters, and in other ways, just like a really hollow representation of who they used to be.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, biggest surprise for me, there was more love in a reflection and a memory of our main couple than there was ever felt between them in the original film. So at least that was a marked improvement.
This is true. Binks, I'm not sure if you played the video games. I think you said you might have. I'm not sure.
I watched my brother play them, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So like these games for me, along with like Resident Evil and games like that, they were the shit back in the day. This was awesome. And what they did in using Akira Yamaoka's songs, the same songs Akira composed for the Silent Hill video games, the songs are beautiful. And it's like one thing that surprised me most while watching this film was the choice to bring those songs to life and bring them into this film. And I feel like it's interesting because the use of the songs oddly kind of fit well in a film that just felt odd the whole way through. So it was almost out of place, but still surprisingly good, just that one aspect. But I will say my biggest gripe with this film is really, I'm just going to say it, how much of a step down it felt like from the first one, because, you know, obviously lower budget, but man, everything suffered from it.
I think the thing that disappointed me, it really caught me off guard, was like this felt really tame compared to the first movie. When we had effects, when we had monsters, even though we had a different variety of monsters here, everything seemed more PG-13 than the first go around. Everything was like a little bit safer. Some of the visuals seemed more polished, perhaps because, you know, a year in CGI makes a big difference sometimes, but it all kind of felt a little too polished, a little too video gamey, and just like not as gritty.
I had the same complaint in the original film. We had so many moments where there was practical effects or costumed actors for some of the monsters and creatures in this film that were then augmented and enhanced by CGI. And we have that again here. And I think what's interesting is this has the potential to have some nightmare fuel monstrosities. And there is something in this movie that I thought, wow, if Peege was still on the show, this would absolutely give him nightmares. It's understandable. But the CGI just takes all the bite out of it. And that's, it sucks. It absolutely sucks. And I mean, there are moments in this that I think might get you in terms of just letting your imagination run wild and think about having this creature in your room. And if you're that kind of person, then maybe this will hit. But I think largely there's so much in this movie that detracts from how scary it could have actually been.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel like Silent Hill, right? Silent Hill in general gives off this nightmarish landscape that feels like you're living in some kind of weird like purgatory or hell. And this movie tried to go down the path of just using long moments of quietness followed by abrupt loud noises to try to give you some cheap jump scares instead of really doing what the first film really succeeded in and just giving you a lot of tension and nerve-wracking like scenes and atmosphere. But man, I just don't know. Was it successful in being super frightening? Not really. This one did not hold the same intensity as its predecessor did, at least for me. It literally gave you a fucking Pop-Tart jump scare. So what does that say about the film?
You know what it says to me? It says a great product placement. And it says to me, man, maybe I should go get a Pop-Tart. Because suddenly I remembered I haven't had a Pop-Tart in a while, honestly. This one is not scary at all. You know what was scary to me? How perfect the transitions synced with the ad breaks in the streaming service that I used.
Too good? No, it's 2B.
That's the frightening stuff.
That's such a great point because, man, you must be really feeling some kind of way if you're suddenly relieved that there's an ad break. And I'm not saying that you were relieved, but I'm saying I was relieved until I remember how long it extended my watch experience.
I never really played horror video games at all. I just like, I don't like mystery games. And while watching this, because just something about them bores me. Like they're trying to show you stuff on screen to like kind of spooky or scare you. And it never hit for me. And this movie had the same kind of feelings. we would face a creature or a monster or whatever. And the only thing that like came to mind was like, continue pressing X to overcome the enemy. Like whatever it is, mash circle a bunch of times really quickly to shove them off and move on to the next scene. Because come on, dude, it's just the monsters they used here just were not effective in threatening the main characters at all in a way that made me care.
It was the whole, triangle, 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 square, 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 square.
It honestly, those moments felt like that from video games. I could see an overlay show up on the screen and I would believe that I was playing something. But it's so strange though, because like the first one had a lot of positive things going on with it, even if it's not up your alley. There's stuff that you could take away that was enjoyable or interesting. Like what did they have to do? They just had to like do it again. But what we got instead was a movie that felt like a movie based on a video game. 100% in my book. And so when you're considering, does this film feel original? It's telling a slightly different story, even though we get that same kind of, all right, here's a scene. You walk into a room, bad things show up. You have to find a way out of the room or how to defeat the thing. So, okay, I kind of expect that. It's Silent Hill. It's going to be based on the video game, but it just felt so based on a video game. And it just like didn't feel fresh at all.
Yeah, I know I used this word to describe another movie recently, but it really is just a regurgitation. And you think mimicry or emulation is the highest form of flattery, but no, this needed to continue the story. And instead, it just largely repeated the story while changing some elements of it. And then also having audacity to do different things that were just nonsensical. So it didn't even emulate it well enough to really give it any credit. So bold attempt at trying to make it based on the game, but then also based on a different game, but then also based on a movie as an adaptation to continue it. But it's just so poor in its execution that it's almost like it's trying so hard to say something, and it tries so hard that it says nothing at all.
Yeah, this movie got lost in the sauce. That's really what it is, because it's always a feat to take on adapting a video game into a feature-length film. We get it. But you're trying to be loosely based on the third installment in the video game franchise, and loosely based being the key word here, because as much as this feels like it's just based on a video game, it's not even true to the game itself. It's just like we were talking about it earlier, and the only thing holding this to Silent Hill 3 is the character names and the costume design. That's like the only thing that's really tying this movie to the actual game it's trying to adapt from. And so that's cool. You want to adapt from the game and you want to try to make this your own thing, and you're also trying to continue the story from the first film, which was also loosely adapted from the video game. So it's tough. But Silent Hill to Silent Hill Revelation, they did their own thing, but it still worked, in my opinion. And this one just got lost in the sauce.
And like I said, even the director knew it, because it's not even film canon either. It's its own entity at this rate. So it's honestly such a shame. But I do have one thing that I think could give it its original flowers. I can't spoil it right now, but there is a scene. It's actually my favorite scene, if you could say that. But it's my favorite scene that I'm pretty sure this movie walked so that this extremely famous trend in 2016 could run. But I can't wait to get into it a little bit deeper later on.
Okay, so talk about deep, though. The ending of this movie, not really deep at all, to be honest. Very surface level. The ending was fine. I didn't hate it. It was super weak. It was kind of cheap. There's a major crisis, and they just kind of poofed it away. Like, hey, guess what? It's not a big deal, because we just decided it wouldn't be. Even though we spent the entirety of the movie making it into a big deal.
There was no real payoff, I felt like, nor did you really care whether there was or there wasn't. It just seemed like such a big, big moment, such a big buildup, I guess, if you were really into the movie. And it just falls flat on its face. It is definitely disappointing, I agree.
The third act really carries an energy about it that makes me feel like they think it's epic. Like, it's really building up to something amazing. And the way that we pivot between our regular pacing and then also slow motion in and out of a major conflict, it feels like it's trying to hype itself up into something really dramatic. And on paper, it seems like it should be a cool thing that happens. And I think that moment does have some good payoff. But it's so inconsistent with the rest of the movie that it really just ends up feeling muddled. And it feels like an ending I don't really care about.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about Lost in the Sauce. Like, I'm truly impressed with how ridiculous the ending for this movie was because, okay, you get what you get and that's cool. It's nothing special. But this ending is really out here trying to reference now multiple different Silent Hill video games. It's literally out here just now. We're just going to reach out to multiple different video games. We have Origin in there. We have Downpour in there. And I don't know if they were trying to play around with this idea of setting up multiple different directions that they could take the franchise in or what, or if they're trying to create their own universe. I'm not sure. It was wild. Not the most successful ending, but I gotta respect the effort, I suppose.
Well, we'll see how our feelings on the ending translates into its score. It's not boding well. But before we actually rate this movie, Sean, how would you describe the gore score?
Overall, this is a pretty gory film. It's filled with carny-type gore. You've got a lot of really nasty moments of people getting mutilated and things like that. So you even get like scenes of kids eating what looks like human flesh. Torture, butchery, all that stuff. It's definitely giving the potential to receive a high gore score, but I feel like some of the shitty CGI takes it down a notch to where it's not even effective enough to earn itself a high gore score. So I'm going to give it medium.
And what about the animal report?
Silent Hill revealed that it does not hurt its animals.
Let's go ahead and get into our ratings. Silent Hill Revelation from 2012. Was it a hack or a slash? And I'll just kick us off here because I don't have much to say. Listen, the stakes were not super high for me coming into this movie. I didn't even like the first one. And so far, it's proven to be the best one in this franchise. I think the real pain point of this film can be described as such. I am a sucker for fan fiction. I'm a sucker for someone taking narrative creativity and expanding and pushing the envelope of what intellectual property can be to give us something great. This feels like fan fiction for Silent Hill, but it feels like shitty fan fiction. It feels like fan fiction that loses the plot 10 sentences in, and then all of a sudden you can start telling where it's copy-paste from original source material and then incomplete sentences and terrible grammar mixed in between. I can think of no better way to describe the experience of watching this movie. It's a bummer because there is cool stuff that happens, but I think it's a far cry from where it needed to land to actually make this a good film that deserves to have the title of its franchise. It's a hack.
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to say I found the perfect way to watch this movie. It's like a 90-minute movie, right? I think we should watch it at maybe 1.5 speed. Bring it down to 60 minutes. Make it feel like a pilot to a TV show. And then I might be interested.
Not you giving this the Binks Lover's Lane treatment.
Ah.
You know, sometimes you got to speed things up a little bit to get the most out of them. And this is one of those cases. I just don't think there's enough to make 90 minutes feel like it's worth it, honestly. If it were crammed in at 60 minutes, again, it feels like a pilot. I feel, you know, sure, let's pick that up and make it a good show. That's what this should have been. Honestly, when you look at the content here, it's an idea. It's not a good execution. It's just like a good idea. Hey, there's more to the story. There's plenty more to the story. And it would do well for us to expand on it. But then we don't get good execution here. Honestly, in almost anything. The makeup, the costumes, they're pretty weak. The effects, their 2012 bad CGI. The acting is hit or miss and mostly miss. There's just not much to praise it for, except if you have fun with it. If you have fun with it, it can be a good time, right? But I think that's maybe in the 40th percentile at best. I don't think this is even a 51% kind of situation. I think this is a hack of a movie. It's unfortunate because I do want more Silent Hill. This movie told me that I actually want to play the games. That's what it taught me. I want to see what a good storyteller could do with these characters, with these ideas. And I think the only way to do that is to like play the video game. And that's not what a movie should do. It should not drive me to find better material, right? It should tell me this is the best possible material. And it didn't execute in that way at all.
Yeah, man, where do I start with this film? I think there just wasn't a whole lot of success with this one. There were some good choices made throughout the film, but they were far and few between. And I feel like the whole thing felt out of place and most things just didn't work. Even things that worked in the first film didn't work this time around. And I'm sure mostly due to budget. But when you mix a lower budget of what, 20 million versus 50 million with actors portraying high school students that look like they had already graduated college with shitty CGI and visual effects, you take all of that and mix it with some off-the-wall 3D effects that are lackluster at best, and you have yourself a perfect recipe for disaster, for disappointment. It's a recipe for a hack. That's exactly what it is, a hack.
All right, well, look, to watch this after seeing Silent Hill is doing yourself a disservice, okay? So heed my warning. Heed everyone's warning, clearly. If I ever watch this movie before, let it be evidence that I successfully, eternal sunshine of a spotless minded, this out of my memory and with good reason. We're meant to just go with the flow, with the continuity of this film. And I say that with like quotation marks because it's nearly non-existent. Continuity where? And it's all for maybe the sake of an increase in gore and Silent Hill 3 game references, albeit little, like Sean was saying. So it just really comes off like they want us to be gullible and like we're naive and we don't understand what's being given to us, right? A plus side, there's a young Kit Harington. So if you're a Game of Thrones fan, I suppose, and sure, he forgets his American accent a good portion of the time, but you know, there's that. But ultimately, in the vein of talking about Kit Harington, actually, this movie was just as disappointing as the Game of Thrones finale. And if you don't want to take it from me, take it from the director, like I mentioned, because she herself also admits that this is not her finest work and is really disappointed in the movie. So this is both a hack from her and I.
There you have it, folks. Silent Hill Revelation has earned a universal hack. Womp womp. Now, you can find this movie streaming on Tubi if you really want to dedicate that time, or you can just skip ahead and join us in the second half so we can continue dragging it together. We'll see you in a bit.
Step right up, step right up. Gather round, for I've got a once-in-a-lifetime invite to the most bewitching, bewildering event you've ever dared to dream of, the Silent Hill State Fair, where the extraordinary becomes your new reality, and the fog is just the beginning of the magic. Now, don't be shy, folks. We've got attractions that'll twist your perception and turn your world upside down. Ever seen the Pyramid Head Grand Show? Oh, it's a marvel, my friends. Watch as the great Pyramid Head slices through the air, a dance with danger that'll leave you breathless, or headless if you're not careful. And let's not forget the Mystery Maze. Oh, it's a fan favorite indeed. Wander through the fog so thick you can't see a hand in front of your face. Who knows what or who you might bump into? Perhaps a member of our welcoming committee, eager to guide you or lead you astray. Fancy a challenge, do you? Try your luck at the cult's ring toss. But here's the catch. The rings are cursed and the stakes are your very soul. Win and you're granted passage back to your mundane life. Lose and, well, let's just say you'll become a permanent addition to our fairgrounds. Ah, but what's a fair without a feast? Indulge in our otherworldly delights. Cotton candy woven from the fog itself. Sweet with a hint of despair. Or perhaps a hot dog infused with the essence of Silent Hill's finest ingredients. Just don't ask too many questions. Some mysteries are best left unsolved. So come one, come all to the Silent Hill State Fair. Embrace the fog, lose yourself in the madness, and discover thrills that mundane fairs could only dream of offering. Remember, here in Silent Hill, the impossible is just another attraction. The Silent Hill State Fair accepts no liability for lost souls, psychological trauma, or any instances of accidental dimension slipping. Attend at your own peril.
Welcome back, folks. You're now entering the spoiler zone for Silent Hill Revelation from 2012, which has earned a universal hack. Now, we have a lot to unpack here, but before we get into the specifics of our ratings, let's go through those kills.
Yeah, we have a surprising kill count in this one with 123 kills. Now, a good chunk of those kills are due to that one fiery merry-go-round, but still, a high kill count nonetheless. And we could talk about all those mannequins that used to be people, but that would just be too much. So I had to leave those out. But still, 123 without the mannequins is pretty impressive. And I think there are some interesting ones to talk about. So I'm curious, what were your favorite kills?
I'm just going to go straight to the point here. The fucking decapitation that we get at the end. Thanks, Pyramid Head, for finally getting in some great action this movie. You rip flesh off of a person in the last film. We had him walking down the hall, just cutting off some arms. But to get a nice clean decapitation and what felt like it was supposed to be this movie's version of the Anakin and Obi-Wan lightsaber fight, fantastic. He really fucked that Cenobite up.
Yeah. I'm amazed that he could even pull anything off with how slow that motherfucker moves, man. I'm just telling you, dude. This dude just slumped around the entire movie.
Yeah, joke's on me for thinking that they're dramatically filming it in slow motion, only to realize that's just his real-time speed.
You know, he's a tank, and that thing has, like, really high hit points.
Yeah.
But, like, gosh, the time on it is so slow. It's worth it. Every hit you get is a big one.
True.
they couldn't even like keep the continuity with him, though, because he was not moving that slow in the first one either.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just absurd.
Pyramid Head. He went from flesh ripping to like slumping around like Jason Voorhees, dude, just like kind of walking around. But even Jason Voorhees is like more effective than this dude. I feel like he got lucky with one nice swing. I mean, you lift that giant axe, sword, whatever the fuck in the air, and then as soon as it starts getting some like velocity, just due to like physics, then it's going to do some damage for sure. But dragging that thing around and just moping about, that's what it felt like.
I'll give some credit to the whole mannequin spider thing. It was ridiculous looking. It was very silly, very video gamey. However, the mechanism it uses is kind of fun. I liked the idea of it. Execution wise, definitely mid, but I did like seeing somebody turn into a mannequin. That's fun. And then having their head just twisted, plucked off, and then integrated into the spider thing.
It reminded me of that toy from Toy Story.
Yes, absolutely.
But more fucked.
It was pretty cool, though. Yeah, just to watch that whole thing happen and just the way the eyes, like you instantly just get absorbed into whatever the fuck this spider mannequin thing is. And then you're just like, it looks like screaming in agony as you're just like being forced to be the eyes of this thing or whatever. Pretty wild.
What about the good old detective, huh? Right from the jump. Not to say that that's my favorite per se, but I was thinking like, man, if anything, he had it nice. He was all right.
You get to feel the pain of his fingers, yeah.
Which, that's when we like really discovered that this movie's in 3D, and that was jarring. You should have seen me on the couch. I like full on backed up like, what? Why are those fingers looking like that?
Little Vienna sausages just flying at your screen.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad for me, though, because I didn't realize that Martin Donovan was in this film. And then when we see him on screen, he's great in a lot of different movies and some TV as well. And I got kind of stoked to see him. I really liked him in When Trumpets Fade. And so I'm like, cool, I'm here for it. And then he's only here for like a little bit. And that was a huge bummer. And he gets taken out in kind of a weak way, which is such a bummer.
Mm. I felt the same way about Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, yeah.
You're in this movie? Like, what are you doing here, bud?
I feel like any of the five people or whatever that were being butchered like animals in that nightmare kitchen at the mall, like that's pretty fucked up. But especially the dude that was getting a chunk of his flesh sliced off while having like he's still alive and his head's in the plastic bag. That's some pretty horrifying shit. Like that was one moment where I was like, well done. Well done.
Sean approves. Yeah, as I was watching that, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to like make it a high gore score, because like at one point it was like full on tug. There was like a little tugging to rip it off. And I was like, great for you. Not great for me.
Yeah.
Hate that.
Speaking of kills, there is the one brethren soldier that was syringed in the back and then knifed in the eye by those like dark nurses. That one was actually a pretty good kill. I mean, just in general, those two dudes, like I get that they're trying to bring Vincent in there and that's a pretty fucked up situation in and of itself. I get like the whole scenario and what they're trying to do, but what did they honestly think was going to happen when they walked in there with a group of those nurses standing around just waiting to fucking slice you into pieces? Honestly, it was just a bad choice.
Yeah,
just open the door and like push that motherfucker in there and call it a day.
Listen, I was really excited to see the thriller nurses back at it again. Nice little flash mob.
Yeah,
and you know, for as cool as those thriller nurses looked, they didn't take the cake for me this time. I actually want to give some credit to the set design in this film. Not all of it, because there was some of it that was really touch and go there. There were some moments where the fire from the carousel looked acceptable at best. But there's the scene where Pyramid Head is chopping off arms. And I still don't understand why they would continue to hold out their arms if they see what's happening. He's so slow that you have so much time to reconsider what you're doing, and yet they constantly reach. However, Heather slips down, and she enters a room that looks like it's made of peeled sunburned skin or snake sheddings. And it's undesirable, it's disgusting, absolutely, but the set design there and the quality of that, not CGI, looked pretty good.
But okay, so you're talking about the set design, and I feel like, for me, I can't say that my favorite production element of the film would be the set design. But if you're going to have shitty effects and shitty CGI and a low budget, maybe try to be a little bit more like that and more practical when you can, but tough to do, I guess, with a video game where like stuff just drastically changes into different atmospheres. I just feel like it can't be set design for me because it didn't have the same eerie, foreboding atmosphere that the first one did. It tried to do it, but I feel like it felt flat in that area. To me, it felt like a discount version of what we got in the first one. The visual effects were just added with the 3D bullshit we already talked about. Like, I talked about the Brethren soldier being killed by those nurses and what a cool scene that could be. But the blood spurting on the screen was another 3D thing that just was terrible. It was horrendous. So I can't even say it's the visual effects either. It's the music and the choice to use Akira's hauntingly beautiful songs, because that's really the best element the film had going for it.
I definitely agree with you. It works when it feels like a crime for it to work. Like, that's really the best part of it all. It was beautiful. I guess runner-up maybe Heather's costume, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, some of the costuming was great. Again, we talked about how that's a reference to the games and such. The moment that vest came out, I was like, oh, I see what you're doing here. Cool. You know? I'll give it that. But I know we're doing favorite production elements. I need to shout out one that was really terrible, aside from the visual effects, was the ADR in some of the scenes, especially with Kit Harington as Vincent. It was just really bad, very noticeable. The accent was fumbling, and I think at some points they were like, bud, maybe re-record it. It was as bad as Madam Web. The ADR there is terrible. This is reminiscent of that. Just to kind of give you an idea, if you know, you know.
There was an 18-wheeler at the end, and that looked pretty okay. You know, that's... I actually did enjoy the statue of their god or deity or whatever creature that was a statue of, because it read as a statue. And I think a lot of times in these kind of films, they read as just a set piece or just like a large piece of plastic that's been painted. And I was like, okay, that actually looks like a statue. We've got Sean Bean tied to it. It felt weighted. It felt pretty decent. And I kept waiting for it to come alive. When we got to that scene, I was like, that thing is going to wake up 100%. And so I think that was actually pretty effective. And it never came alive. What a wasted opportunity. Obviously, that's probably not, you know, in the video game or anything like that. But it would have worked had they shown me that. I would have been okay with it.
Would you say that the fastening of Sean Bean to that was your favorite scene?
I don't know that that was my favorite scene. I mean, it was fine. You know, it's better than him being tied to like a tree or something, but it's hard to pick favorite scenes in this film. They did, however, have some nice transitions where we're in real life and we are somehow now morphing into the darkness. And I think we mentioned it earlier, the one in the mall was like a really solid one. That whole segment, that was great. I really enjoyed, because like, we want it to be dark. We want it to feel really twisted. And I think they actually cranked it up to 10 for that scene. And the rest of the movie kind of went back down to like a 6.
Yeah. Well, speaking of transitions, though, here's one I really enjoyed. And it was this transition between scenes where we have Heather saying, just another thing to prove I'm going crazy. And then it transitions right into this shot of a mentally ill dude on the bus. That was just well placed.
I love the way that we all find creative ways to throw this fucking movie a bone. Let me tell you my favorite scene, because it has nothing to do with Silent Hill. It has nothing to do with any of the horrors that we see or the premonitions or the dreams. My favorite scene is one of the cringiest moments, and it's when Heather has to introduce herself at school. Shout out to that teacher. I have a little highlight for her later on as we progress through this episode. But it was to take a moment and understand where she's been this whole time and how that change has affected her, if I really want to look at this in a very earnest and authentic way. This movie has some fucking audacity. We start out and she's already having a dream. She's 18 years old. We get some dream within a dream bullshit. It then gives us really lazy exposition to go back and show us how she made it back. Show us that Rose sent her back. But really, they could have just started there and then jumped forward in time. What I appreciate about this moment in particular in this classroom is that for all that lazy exposition, it at least made me care a little bit about how she has grown through this absolutely harrowing process with her and her dad.
Yeah, because I think to some extent, we have to believe that she's a very strong, independent kind of person to, as we watch the movie, understand that she would be traversing and trying to find her dad on her own and is very, you know, like recluse, affected by her dreams. I'd be more concerned if she was trying to make friends at her new high school, but she's having all these crazy, intense dreams that just doesn't add up, you know, that wouldn't affect her mental health that way. So I'll agree with you that that scene was, good. It made sense. The following up of the Kit Harington introduction was just odd, but I like seeing his face. For me, favorite scene, I referenced it a little bit earlier. It's the nurses, and it's for two reasons. One, at one point, it quite literally is identical to a video game cutscene. You mentioned it, Mac. Like, I'm pretty sure if you told me that they just copy and pasted the video game cutscene, I don't even know if this was like actually in the video game or not, right? But the way it's filmed, edited, it looks identical to a PS5 game. And I was like, oh, you know what? At this rate, I'll take it. It looked beautiful, so I'll take it. The second reason. Do you guys remember 2016, the mannequin challenge that like took over the internet? This was like where all of a sudden that one song that would start playing and everybody would just freeze and no one would move. When I saw that scene, I was like, oh my God, this is the mannequin challenge in 2012. And it just, give it four more years and we're back at it again. I almost wanted to play the song as the scene was going on because I was like, wow, this is it. This is literally it. Now, why were they moaning? That was weird.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary.
Yeah, the sound effects are weird there.
The sound effects were a little sus, but nonetheless, I was here for it. It makes sense. We can't move. Oop, don't make any sounds. They're going to move again. It was cute.
For sure. Everything about that scene, just to add on to it, is just, if you think about like what's happening there, it's great, right? Like outside of the weird shit that's happening with the moaning and whatnot, and maybe it looking too much like a cut from a video game or whatever, I feel like, just think about being surrounded by a bunch of like weird nurses that can't see, but they're going off hearing and they move all fucking twitchy like and weird, but they're just like, as soon as they hear something, they're just like stabbing and hacking. It's one of the more frightening elements of the film. And I think that was one of the better scenes in the entire film. It just got squandered with the CGI and the 3D blood splatter.
Take the cave creatures from The Descent, slap them in nurse costumes and put them in Silent Hill. And there you go. You got a picture.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to say that. I was going to say maybe the reason I like it so much is because it's literally clickers.
Yeah.
And that whole thing from The Last of Us.
True.
That makes sense now.
Let me tell you what doesn't add up, though. I absolutely despised the closeness of Harry and Heather.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't just being father and daughter. Remember that this is adoptive. Father-daughter. It was the real big emphasis that it's her 18th birthday specifically. And I get it. Exposition is talking about a time jump. But when two actors do not have great chemistry, they don't sell a father-daughter relationship. I absolutely felt like my skin was crawling. She sits on his lap. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. I vomited internally and it was just absolutely atrocious.
You know, I wasn't a big fan of the casting at all because let's just say, at this point, 7-year jump. There's no way that she would even look like that to begin with. I mean, that actress does not look like she's 18. And I know that we do that a lot, but there was like very little effort when it comes to that casting.
It was bad.
So much so that the original actress from, you know, good old Breaking Dawn, she was saying that she never even got a call for this opportunity. Like, why couldn't she do it? It already had been 6 years since Silent Hill and the sequel. Why couldn't she just continue playing the role? Didn't make much sense to me personally. I mean, if you've got all these other extremely famous actors in your cast, I think you can spare a few bucks to just continue having this one piece of continuity that you desperately need.
Yeah. Can we talk about the wiggiest wig on that child that was not her in the memory? When he's thinking back to when she all of a sudden arrives back in his home holding the medallion. What the fuck? And there's another wig situation later. There are multiple wigs in this movie that are just outrageous. But that first one, that was an untrimmed wig. Absolutely. That was like, took it straight off the shelf. It's the longest it could ever possibly be. Just threw it on that child's head.
We need the makeup equivalent of Wiggiest Wig, because having Adelaide Clemens play both Heather and Alessa was a massive, massive misstep. But painting her like a clown for Alessa was like insulting. The makeup was so bad. It was just not hitting in any sort of way. It was like somebody's like bad Halloween costume where they were trying to be the crow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how bad it looked.
It was bad. It was terrible.
Did not work whatsoever.
Yeah. There were so many bad choices with what they did with characters, and the actors and stuff, they just didn't sell the part either, which was bad. I'm glad that you brought what you brought up, Chris, because that whole opening scene or whatever, I didn't even link the two stories together. I was just like, I put it on and I watched it and I wasn't thinking about it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, they're like a couple. And then like, oh wait, they're not a couple. That's her dad. It was weird.
It's a simple fact that, like, why do you have the same haircut and hair color as your mom?
Mm-hmm.
You look a little too much like your mom.
Exactly. And can we also just appreciate how fucking useless he was in the first film, and all of a sudden he's useless again because this man just gets abducted. What did Rose do? What did Rose and Sybil do? They went in there and they handled some shit. And this fucking guy just gets got in his own apartment.
True.
Useless. And then, after all that effort, after his daughter fucking traverses Silent Hill to bring his ass back, he just says, JK, let me turn around and find your mom. Because you look just like her and now I remember her.
What the fuck is that? How are you going to like go through all of that and then at the end just say, peace, I'm out?
If we were expected to have a film after this movie that continues this movie, she's now run out of parents to leave behind in Silent Hill. So I don't know what the fuck she was going to do.
Yeah, there's nothing left. They really need to Evil Dead this movie and just reimagine everything in like 2 minutes and then start a whole new film. That's literally what needs to happen from here on out.
In a much better way than kind of what already happened to us, though, because they just like quickly scrambled a little bit and tried to reimagine just enough to get away with some very, you know, towing the line things there.
Previously on Silent Hill.
What's crazy, too, is he also just is super chill with leaving his daughter with basically a stranger who is the son of the main leader of this occult.
Oh, yeah. You had to have called it from the get-go.
Number one. I was like, oh, so he's going to turn on her. Let's just wait and see. Surprise.
Lightning doesn't strike twice in the same spot. You mean there's two new students joining halfway through the school year? Get the fuck out of here.
What a coincidence. Oh, you really don't want me to go to Silent Hill? Okay, sure. Oh, your mom's not so great? Buddy, come on. It's so obvious. So you're completely fine. All this time protecting your daughter, and now you're just suddenly okay with leaving the stranger have your daughter? Very suspicious. Also, because they have no chemistry. Sorry, they have no chemistry also. Let's also talk about that. Because they tried to add a little bit of romance element. Like I'm supposed to, you know, ship the two of them. There was no chemistry whatsoever.
There was actually better chemistry between her and Pyramid Head. You know? Although, is Pyramid Head her dad?
Her protector, her guardian, is what they said.
Did she just get, like, Jesus into the world by Alessa? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, no, it's like, it's kind of like a weird, I don't know. They don't really, yeah, best not to look too far into it, you know what I mean? It
doesn't matter either way.
Just a little, the good piece of her somehow turned into a child.
Let's like, imagine that the Holy Spirit removed itself from Christ and then just planted itself into another body, baby, and then here we go.
Like a Horcrux.
Like a Horcrux. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I am curious, how are you gonna be Carrie Ann Moss in The Matrix and then turn around and not have eyebrows in this movie? How are you gonna let them do that to you?
Terrible.
Maybe this is just an extension of The Matrix, and this is just where, you know, the Matrix is holding Trinity prisoner.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Maybe that's what it is.
Her character was really weird from the beginning. It was just like, you look like one of the elves from Hellboy or whatever. And like, you don't match with any of the other humans. Something is obviously off with you, just like something was obviously off with her son. It didn't add up whatsoever. And with her makeup was so bad. It just like, I had a hard time buying into anything when you have bad makeup like that.
Just give us the Cenobite version of her, because that, you know, somebody mentioned Cenobites earlier, and that's exactly what it was. Like, they would, this one would be giving the Cenobites a run for their money, man. This was a gnarly little character. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it could have been in the Hellraiser reboot that we just got.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, like, I also want to talk about the monsters for a second, because when we compare the monsters in this film to the first film, to me, it's night and day. In the first one, the monsters almost embody this tragic symbolism, and like, they help bring to life this living hell that you're experiencing. Like, they add to everything. But I feel like in this one, the monsters feel too much like just a video game monster. Like, just the way they act, the way they move, everything that you're experiencing just feels like you're like in some kind of boss level of some game that you're trying to, you know, overcome or get to the next level or whatever. And the worst of these offenders is Pyramid Head, because he's the guardian of Alessa we were just talking about. I get it. But to me, they made him feel too humane and empathetic.
Follow me here on this little stretch, because you just said something about like these little like hollow bosses that you had to fight in video games. Here's what the monsters feel like. You know how in Super Mario World, when you go to each castle, you have a boss that's like a mini Bowser that is very different from each other and their setting is different. But at the end of the day, all you have to do is hit their fucking head 3 times and they're all the same underneath. That's what that feels like.
Yeah.
It was giving me Haunted House baddies. Like, that's the quality I was getting, was like, okay, we see that one, just turn a corner, there's going to be another one somewhere nearby, and it's going to look basically the same, but their head's going to be disfigured in a different way.
One character, though, that stole the show for me was the absolutely hilarious teacher who introduces the new students. And after Heather just fucking pops off and goes off on this long rant about how nobody means anything to her and don't even bother, after all that, the teacher just says, "Impressive," and then introduces Kit Harington's character. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, you're really going to let this whole thing go off and not settle anybody down? It was quite funny. And I think that was a moment where I was like, okay, this is a moment that feels like camp.
It was comedy. That's what it was. It was the comedy of the movie.
Yeah, and it was the best part of the movie.
It worked. It definitely worked.
I don't know. I think the best part of this movie, it's the Easter eggs that we do get, because in this movie, if you did play the video games, you got the fanfare, fan service, whatever, because you get a ton of Easter eggs. And that's the only part that I really found any kind of enjoyment pulling out of this movie. You've got things like the little red high heel shoe sitting on the headboard in Jack's Inn, because that's, I believe, like something you use to solve a puzzle, if I remember, in one of the games. There's this moment where Heather grabs like a metal pipe, and that's like a common weapon throughout the video games. You've got Robbie the Rabbit in there. You said it, Binks, to the white vest, right? We got so many little Easter eggs to the movies that you're like, ah, you know, like, that was enjoyable. But the biggest Easter egg of all was the ending, because it hinted at so many different games. You have Harry going back and entering Silent Hill. That's Silent Hill 2. You've got the truck driver. That's Silent Hill Origins. You have, you know, the passing like prison convoy. That's from Downpour. Like, there's just, that was the biggest Easter egg. They just threw it at the end. It didn't make sense at all, but, you know, it was the biggest one.
A big culmination of like, let's just throw every Easter egg that we can, since everything else doesn't make sense anyways, and I'll take it.
Fuck it.
I agree. Chris, you mentioned that the teacher was your favorite. I'm going to shout out a character that we didn't get to discuss at nauseam. Dahlia is played by Deborah Unger. I have had a more newfound appreciation for this actress since we last watched Silent Hill, or we did our episode a few weeks ago. And that's because I've seen both The Game by David Fincher, my favorite director, and Crash by my other favorite director, Cronenberg. She's in both of them, and she nails it. Like, she is so freaking good in those movies that when I saw her now, I was like, oh my God, that's right. You're this mom, like, you're Dahlia, and you're too good of an actress to be here. Much like Carrie Ann, obviously, but like, and a lot of other people that are in this cast, but more in particular, her, you know, she's got a monologue moment. That was when I was really honed in, because I was entranced by her specifically, knowing her acting ability and how good she is in those other two films. So I had to give her a shout out.
I got to think real hard on finding a best part of this movie. It is very challenging. The movie is not absolutely horrible. It's just so medium that it's hard to find anything that truly stands out. I was surprised when I realized it's 2/3 into this movie when something actually happens. Like, but when something actually happens in Silent Hill, there's so much of it that's not even in Silent Hill. Like, I feel like most of the movie doesn't even take place in Silent Hill yet. However, the story is not perfect. It pulls from all over the place. They make stuff up. But I do like the idea that we tried to add some more characters here and actually have a little back and forth between some characters and actually try to build a story. We didn't do it well, but I did appreciate the attempt. Because I don't think you can do what you did in the first one, just copy it over again and just have like one main character going through rooms and occasionally meeting somebody. So the fact that we started in kind of a different environment here is great. I just went and looked at like all the Silent Hill games because I've never played them. I wanted to see what the synopsis was of each game. And oh boy, I wish that we did an anthology series kind of the way that the video games did, because they weren't scared to just say, F it. This game is not even about those characters at all. You know, we don't need to tie them together because it's a completely different game. We're telling another story. So I'm going to say that the credit here for best part goes to the fact that they tried. They tried to have somewhat of a story.
Wow. Too bad they didn't try hard enough to make me ever want to rewatch this shit again.
A for effort.
Yeah, ditto.
Also same. It's unfortunate, but is there really a need, especially with, you know, this upcoming reboot, remake, whatever we want to call it? No need. And it's a shame because love to support female directors, but she doesn't even like it. So I'll support her in any other film that she does, but not this one.
Well, technically, you're supporting her because she also doesn't like it. So you're just supporting her opinion that she doesn't like this film that she made. Yeah, I highly doubt that I'll watch this movie again. Like, I don't even see a reason. I think I found the reason why I shut this out of my memory and haven't revisited this one since the first watch, because there really is no need. And even when they continue the franchise, to your point, the timeline is all out of order anyways, and they butchered the storyline, so it doesn't even matter to watch these in order. So you could literally just leave this one on the shelf and just move on.
Well, moving on sounds like the right idea for us on this show, because there you have it, folks. Silent Hill Revelation from 2012 has earned a universal hack. We certainly had a robust discussion here, but it doesn't end here by any means.
We want to know what you think. Would you return to Silent Hill again, especially after this one? Let us know either way. You can join in on the conversation by hanging out with us for free in our Discord. Click the link in our show notes to sign up.
If you found this episode revelatory, consider becoming one of our patrons. Visit patreon.com/hackerslash to enjoy more of the show with early access, extended episodes, bonus content, and live shows.
We'll see you next time, folks. And remember, sacrifices have to be made.
Well, do you know where the Silent Hill is?